Well, we have been looking at some of the folks who were used by God to not only rediscover, but re-announce the good news that it is God who saves and that God has provided salvation for His people in Christ Jesus. There is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. And yet, there have been down through the ages, and there still are today, people who rather than pointing to Him want to get in the way and point to themselves and say, if you want to know God, you need to listen to me. You need to come through me. You need to do what I say. Folks, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. You need to trust Him. You need to believe Him. You need to rely on Him. You need to realize there is no other way to God. Well, what about people who've never heard? They will answer to God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. People may not have heard how to be saved, but all people everywhere are confronted with the evidence that there is a God and that we have violated His law. People may not have the Ten Commandments in front of them, but they have enough of God's law that is evident to them that everybody's done stuff they know is wrong. I may not know all 10 of the commandments, but I know I shouldn't have done that. This is true throughout history. It is true all over the world because God has given us consciences. Well, some people's conscience is seared. Yeah. That means they have refused to listen when the Holy Spirit is convicting. They know that they should not have done that, but they'll try and justify it. And you and I cannot be justified in God's sight apart from Jesus. He is the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and that is the only basis on which forgiveness is offered. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is God's Word. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Again, this is God's word. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Martin Luther was a German fellow born in 1483. It's a long time ago. And when Luther was born, he was born into a family where his father had to work very hard with his hands to make a living, and he wanted something better for his son. Well, Luther wanted something better for himself, too. And in his early educational training, he not only showed academic promise, but he was training to become a lawyer, because that would be a more comfortable and affluent life. But he had a life-changing experience in a thunderstorm that caused him to decide if God would spare him from death, that he would become a monk. The idea was, if you really want to serve God, you don't want to be a lawyer, you don't want to be a miner or a smelter, you want to be a monk, because that's how you get close to God. That's how you serve God. Now, let me say at this point, as an aside, but nevertheless an important point, you can serve God as a lawyer. You can serve God as a miner, a smelter, a carpenter, a stonemason, a mom, a teacher, a doctor. You can serve God in doing whatever he has gifted you and called you to do. You can serve God as a musician. You can serve God in any number of ways. The question is, why are you doing what you're doing? If you're doing it in order to have a more comfortable life, that's not serving God. If you're doing it in order to achieve prestige, that's not serving God. But if you will do whatever it is you do for the glory of God, which is what we're commanded to do, then you can serve God in any number of things. You don't have to become a member of the clergy. It would be tragic if everybody everywhere who followed Jesus thought they were just supposed to be a preacher. Absolutely tragic. I know a bunch of people who are very effective at proclaiming the Word of God, and they do something else for a living. And I know a bunch of people who are full-time preachers, and they need to shut up. There is an old saying that a fellow was out plowing in his field, and he saw clouds coming together and forming letters that said, P.C. And he thought, preach Christ. And he left his plow and he went off and he trained and went into ministry. And when he died and went to heaven, and he did get to go to heaven, he said, I obeyed your call. And the Lord said, oh, it's okay, but you misunderstood. I meant plant corn. Some were called and some were sent and some just packed their bags and went. There are a lot of people who end up doing things that God never called them to do because they thought that that would be the godliest thing. No, the godliest thing is whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Well, Luther said, I'll be a monk. I'll become a priest. And so he trained for the ministry, and having been born in 1483, he was ordained in 1507. Roman Catholic priest. He was a skilled scholar, and so he was a professor at the university as well as a priest. But in 1517, just over 500 years ago, he did something that changed world history. He went to the door of the church where notices were posted, and he posted what became famously known as the 95 Theses. This is 95 statements where he's positing truth and challenging anybody, anywhere who wants to debate him to debate these points. If I were to post 95 statements offering to debate any of those points, you'd think that there would be something in there that somebody could find offense at. Well, they did. But Luther, in that list of 95 statements, not only argued for the authority of Scripture, for the truth of the gospel, he also argued for German nationalism. Why are we sending our money to Rome? Why do we want to give our money to the Italians? Keep it here in Germany. It was a nationalistic appeal as well as a theological appeal. Well, this sparked enormous debate. A lot of people saw it and read it and said, yeah, that's what I think. I've been saying, honey, didn't I say that? That's right. That guy's right. Look at that. Look at this. he said this. I mean, it was all kinds of stuff in that list. And boy, everybody started talking. Now, prior to this, something else had absolutely transformed the possibilities for this thing to spread. It was, in its time, not unlike the invention of the internet in our age. Okay? Prior to the Gutenberg press, it was very painstaking and expensive in order to make a printed copy of anything. With the advent of the Gutenberg press, technological breakthrough, an invention, with the Gutenberg press, it became possible to make copy after copy after copy after copy after copy after copy after copy easily. Okay? And they began doing that. And his statements became a bestseller. They went all over the country and they spread into other countries. Other people were reading it and saying, wow, this stuff's true. This guy's right. What a bold thing. Now, why did he take the step of doing this on October 31st of 1517? Well, because it was the night or the day before the big sale, okay? You know how in our country around Thanksgiving, people get all excited that they're going to be able to go out and buy stuff at reduced prices? And now at other times of year as well, they have things like Amazon will have Amazon days, and Sevier County will have tax-free days, and all kinds of things to try and encourage business. We're going to mark it down. This week only, 24 hours only, 48 hours only, all these things to try and get people to spend their money. Well, guess what? The Roman Catholic Church was having a sale on what they called indulgences. We've mentioned this before. But the indulgences that 100 years earlier were controversial were now extremely widespread and vital to the Roman Catholic Church's plans to build what is called St. Peter's Basilica. It is a palace. It is a magnificent work of architecture. It's filled with all kinds of luxurious art. It is magnificent. I haven't been to Rome yet, but I've seen the pictures. Let me tell you, amazing, but not cheap, okay? Very, very, very expensive. How are we going to pay for all this and the other things that we want to do? Well, we're going to have to get money from people. Well, many of the people are very poor. How are we going to get money? Tell them that if they'll give us the money, we will give them a certificate that shows that they will not have to go to purgatory. Or if they can't afford that, that they won't have to spend as long in purgatory. Or, and here's the real appeal. How many of you have a mother? Anybody here have a mom? Okay? Yeah, it's all of us. You don't get into the world any other way. I know you love your mom, don't you? I want you to think about your mom suffering in purgatory. Suffering because as much as you love your mom, you know she wasn't perfect. Well, you can get her out. And on November 1st, All Saints' Day, we're going to have a special. For a discounted price, you can get your mom out of purgatory. If you can't afford it, you can at least reduce her time. How much is your mother's peace worth to you? If you love your mother, if you're grateful to be alive, give us the money. Give us the money and we'll give you a piece of paper that says your mom is now out of purgatory. Isn't that great? You can trust me, I'm a priest. Hey, that was the deal. There was a guy named Tetzel in Germany raising money for the building project in Rome by selling people bogus promises that they could get themselves or their relatives out of a place that doesn't exist. That made Luther mad because he'd been to Rome and he had seen the debauchery and immorality, the greed, the mess that was rampant within the church hierarchy in Rome. And it turned his stomach. He was a guy who had a real keen awareness of his own sinfulness. And let me tell you, it was earned. Okay? Luther had some sin issues. But he felt horrible about his sin, and he was terrified of God's wrath. So he had done everything the church told him in order to be forgiven. But he didn't feel forgiven. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to do stuff to get forgiveness, if you're trying to do things so that God will forgive you, you shouldn't feel forgiven. You're not. But Luther, because he was educated and because he was a priest, had opportunity to do something that even a lot of the priests didn't get to do. He got to read the scriptures. And when Luther read the scriptures, he discovered the gospel. The good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. And Luther was like, wait a minute. Why hadn't anybody told me that? Why didn't they tell me the solution to my sin problem is Jesus? And so he got mad. And he began preaching the truth, but here comes Tetzel into town preaching lies in order to get money from the poor, in order to take it back to Rome to make things even more beautiful. He's furious. And that's what motivated him to write out his statements. I am 99% sure that he didn't start out to make a list of 95 things. You understand? I mean, he was like, boy, I'm going to say what's wrong with this. on another thing. Eventually, he had 95 of them. And he went and he nailed it to the door and basically told people, don't waste your money. The gospel is about Jesus. And this guy is lying to you. And he said something else that was just wonderful. He said, this guy says he's representing the Pope and that these pieces of paper are from the church. He says, I think he's lying. I cannot believe that the Pope would say such things. Because if the Pope had the power to forgive sins, he ought to just do it. Okay? So he says, I'm not saying bad stuff about the Pope. I'm saying surely the Pope isn't really saying this. This is a lie from other people within the church. And this Tetzel guy, he's a crook. He's a liar. Don't listen to him and don't waste your money buying a worthless piece of paper. Tetzel was not pleased. And unfortunately, what Tetzel was saying was what the Pope was saying. The Pope not only had approved the plan, the Pope was counting on the plan to bring in a lot of money. And it still did, but not as much. Not as much as it would have if Luther hadn't warned the people. Well, Luther, therefore, got in a heap of trouble with his bosses in the Church of Rome. He was tried for heresy, and I'm not going to recap his whole life and all the stuff he went through. You're supposed to be studying that. But what I want you to understand is the more that they quarreled with him, the more they tried to argue, he kept going back to the scriptures and saying, show it to me in the book. Show it to me in the scriptures. If you can prove in the scriptures that I'm wrong, I'll recant. He was saying the same thing that Jan Hus had said in the Czech Republic, in Bohemia. I've been to Prague, I think I told you, and seen the statue that they now have. And by the way, Pope John Paul II issued an apology on behalf of the Roman Catholic Church for the way that Jan Hus was treated. The injustice and the cruelty of the way that he was treated. The Roman Catholic Church is not what it was 500 years ago. There has been change, but that change came at the cost of a lot of lives. And the Roman Church still, unfortunately, still has not embraced the gospel in all of its fullness. There are precious people within the Roman Church who love the Lord, believe the Bible, and are proclaiming the truth. Unfortunately, one of them is not the current Pope. However, when Luther said, show it to me in the Bible, that was what Jan Hus had said over 100 years earlier. And he paid for it with his life. He paid for it with his life. Luther, when he took the same position, had a bunch of people in the Roman Catholic hierarchy who wanted him dead. They wanted him dead. But because of his political alliances and the sovereign grace of God, he was able to escape with his life. But his stand for the truth started a ball rolling that rolled all around the world. It didn't just affect Germany. It didn't just affect Europe. It is one of the reasons why today, here in this country, we don't have a church hierarchy that tells us what we have to preach in all of our churches every week. We don't have a church hierarchy that tells us how we have to worship or that we have to worship. We don't have a church hierarchy that controls the government and picks our president and makes our laws. We don't have that. The freedoms that we enjoy, not just in the United States, but in many countries in the world, were birthed as a result of the Protestant Reformation. Now, I think it's important that children understand that Kroger doesn't produce groceries. You understand? So where does milk come from? It comes from the carton. Okay. No, but I mean, where does the milk come from? From the store. It comes from a cow, ladies and gentlemen. Boys and girls, milk, cow's milk, comes from a cow. All right? And it's important, just if you want to be even mildly educated, it's important to know where milk comes from. Would we agree on that? What about meat? That just comes from the store. No, it comes from animals. Meat is from animals. You mean we eat animals? Yes, we do. Some people are so turned off by that. The idea that we would consume something that once was alive is just awful. I can't do that. I picture that poor little chicken. I'm willing to eat the eggs, but I can't eat chicken. Okay, well, I'm not gonna press you further on that illogical position, but let me just say this. We actually lost a donor because I posted a video to Facebook years ago of some of our kids being amused by the behavior of decapitated chickens. Okay? When you remove the head from a chicken, its body continues to run around. Okay? Not indefinitely, but for a little bit. And these kids thought it was hilarious to see a headless chicken running around. And I posted that because I thought that their reaction was hilarious. And one of our donors was furious that we are teaching these children cruelty. And she stopped giving. I think it was worth it. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that people need to understand reality. Okay? If you're gonna eat, the person who, by the way, was upset and quit giving was not a vegetarian. But they just thought we should be more solemn. We should feel badly about the fact that chickens have to die before I can go to KFC and get chicken. Folks, you know what? It's okay. It's not okay to be cruel. It's not okay to torture animals. God hates that. Cruelty is wrong. But meat comes from animals. Understand? I want you to know something else. Why did he bring that up? What's that about? You need to know where you got your freedom. People died for it. You need to know where you got a Bible in your own language. People died for it. You need to know why the gospel is being preached freely in so much of the world. People died in order to make that happen. And if you take it for granted, shame on you. We need to be thanking God for folks who went before us and with their blood purchased the freedoms that we now have, the truth that we have. We can read the Bible in our own language. Luther did something radical. He knew it was the gospel as recorded in the scriptures that had taught him the truth, and so he translated the Bible into German so that Germans could read for themselves without having to learn Latin and get permission to go into a restricted access library. He made it so that with the Gutenberg press, people could get the Bible in their own language. Imagine. And when they read it, they realized, so what they're saying up there at the church isn't true, because it contradicts the Bible. And I'm going to believe God's word when it goes against some preacher. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If I say something that is contrary to Scripture, I'm wrong. Don't listen to me. Okay, please point it out to me. Tell me. Show me. As Luther said, as Hus said, if you can show me from Scripture, I'll recant. I'll change my position if my position is shown to be contrary to Scripture. But if this is what God says in His Word, we need to believe it. And we need to change our lives by His grace and His power to conform with this. We don't change the Bible to bring it up with the times. Well, you know, morals have changed. No, morals haven't changed. This is moral, that's immorality. Okay? Well, but I want to float, so I don't believe in gravity. Well, you're still going to fall on your face. And one day, you're going to have to bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Luther not only translated the Bible into the language of the people, but in 1525, he married his dearly loved wife who had been a nun. What? I thought a priest wasn't supposed to get married. Well, that's what he was told. Not allowed. But he discovered, for example, that when the biblical requirements for a pastor are laid out in Scripture, not only does it not say you've got to be celibate, you've got to be unmarried, it said you're supposed to be the husband of one wife. So the hierarchy of the church has for centuries required that people who are qualified not be pastors and people who are not qualified be pastors. That seems like that would be a great way to end up with a whole bunch of people who are sexually impure and kind of twisted in positions of leadership in the church. Yeah, it does. It does. I just throw that out for free. I'm telling you something. This is the authority. God's word is the authority. I'm not the authority. God's word is the authority. You want to know what's right and what's wrong? Study God's word. And when you do, thank God for the people who went before you and made it possible for you to have the Bible in your language. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your word is true and that it doesn't change because you do not change. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would grant us eyes to see, minds to understand, and faith to trust and obey. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.